Welcome to Magic in the Moment, Mindfulness in Real Time. My name is Clayton Platt, and I'll be your host for this podcast journey. Now, for many people, practicing mindfulness has very little to do with sitting on a cushion, lighting incense, or even focusing on their breath, just paying attention to what they're doing at any moment. And doing this intentionally can create that same magic. Our time together is intended to share how mindfulness plays out in everyday life for our guests. Now, before we begin, here's a word from our sponsor, Meditation for Leadership. We all feel it. The pressure to keep up, to perform, to push through. But lasting success doesn't come from speeding up. It comes from slowing down, leaning in, and creating the space to lead from within. That space is where we shift from autopilot to intention, building mindful habits that strengthen focus and calm. It's where we stay connected to our values and purpose, choosing to respond instead of react. It's where we unlock our potential to positively shape our own lives and empower others to grow and thrive. That's the work of Meditation for Leadership. If you're ready to create the space for sustainable success, visit meditationforleadership.org. Welcome. Clayton Platt here, your host of Magic in the Moment, Mindfulness in Real Time. And I'm thrilled to have our guest today, Fred Wozniak. And Fred is the president and CEO of the Food Bank of South Jersey. He is the owner and principal of Humanix Consulting Company. And he's also the co-author with myself and a bunch of other brilliant people of a book called Today is the Day, Live It. Look for it. It's coming out soon this fall. And Fred, welcome.
Oh my gosh, Clayton, this is, it's an honor. And, you know, there's no coincidences in life. And here we are, and we're in the same place now of doing work. And so I'm just thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate it. And, you know, Fred, you and I were talking earlier about a project that has evolved for you, something that I think is sort of demonstrates a number of your personal interests and things that you may develop as you go into the next chapter of your life. But you seem to have taken some space outside your house and converted it into something that could be usable for perhaps a learning environment and coaching and maybe a little bit of entertainment for young people. And, you know, I think that's awesome, but I want to know more about it. Can you explain it to me, Fred?
Yeah, wow. I like the way you've framed that. It's going to even take me to just more cool things. Yeah, you know, the I've become blessed as being a grandparent. My wife and I were grandparents to three wonderful grandchildren. Now, whose grandchildren are never wonderful to their grandparents? Twin girls that are two, and my grandson is four. And they live in Oregon. And, you know, my children have grown up. You know, I've retired from the YMCA, and half of my 27-year career was at YMCA camps. And so my, you know, children have a fond joy of just being in the outdoors. But they're too far, Clayton. They live in Portland, Oregon. And we're here in Jersey, in the Pine Barrens, a beautiful area. But, you know, when they visit twice a year, or I'll go out there, we have a, you know, just a big, beautiful backyard here in the Pine Barrens. And I've created trails. And having built things out in the woods for camps, you know, I kind of built this fun climbing walls, adventure course. And so as my children, grandchildren getting older, you know, anytime we go outside, I made them little hiking sticks. And there's also a state park across the road from me. I always call, let's go outside. Let's go find a, you know, let's have a big adventure. And when your grandchildren are, you know, palm of your hand and just walking on a trail and kicking sticks or looking at a leaf or spiders, bugs, it's a big adventure. And so about a year and a half ago, you know, my granddaughters were just born, and, you know, my grandson was, two and a half. And I said, you know what, I don't see them that often. I started a YouTube channel called Outdoors with Papa. Now, my children have called me Papa their whole lives. And all three of them, when they got to 12 years old, they didn't want to call me Papa anymore. But that all worked out because all their friends call me Papa now. So my grandchildren, I got them to say Papa, and it stuck. And so I created this YouTube channel for them called Outdoors with Papa. But it has evolved, and it's evolved to, you know, as I'm officially Medicare and as retirement from the food bank is just before me. This has been just a fun venture. So, you know, my grandchildren watch me on television, and when my daughter sends me videos of them watching me on a big screen, oh my gosh, I'm their hero. Like, look at Papa. He's a big deal. And so it's evolved to how grandparents can find projects. Someone that may be going into retirement, you know, what is fun things to do in the outdoors? Because as we'll talk later, I hope, you know, the outdoors has been a big part of my life and everything that it brings to you. And so to have my grandchildren now partake in the big adventures on a simple trail, a simple activity, it is so much fun and brings so much joy to me. But to know that they can watch me anytime on the big screen, Outdoors with Papa, it's pretty cool. So, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That's a lot of fun for me.
Well, I love that. And I'm going to express a little mudita. And I think you may know what mudita is. Folks listening may not, but that is the it's sympathetic joy, right, from the Buddhist term. And it is a much more, I think, positive frame than jealousy or envy, because I have three married children and no grandchildren. So I celebrate your joy in being able to entertain, even though they're in Oregon and you're in Jersey. I think that's awesome. I also am going to take a hint from this, because I raised my kids doing imitations of Sesame Street with different puppets. And when they were in their teens, they did ask me to stop. So
Clayton, what they're going to want it back. They're going to want those back. And once you're blessed with the grandchildren, all that's going to come back and they're going to love it.
I think they may be watching Outdoors with Papa. But this does kind of bring me to a sense of when you and I connected, it came basically through Meditation for Leadership. So I've been involved with Meditation for Leadership for about 5 years. It's a wonderful, wonderful. It's in fact a sponsor of this podcast, and I'm very grateful for that. But bringing mindfulness, the mindfulness elements of good leadership to organizations is devoutly to be wished. And I know that you are a board member now, and they're very grateful for that. But your coming to them and joining the board is not accidental, because you've been exhibiting all of the elements of mindful leadership for quite a while. So I'm interested in, how did that journey start for you? What was the introduction, and how has it kind of woven into your life, you know, as a leader of organizations, your love of the outdoors, and parenting and grandparenting?
Yeah. Wow. That's, deep thought there. And it's interesting. My daughter, who has my grandchildren, she's a school counselor. Now she's full-time mom. But school counselor, and actually all three of my children, adult children, are school counselors. So, you know, it's just been a blessing of their path. But when she was school counseling in Massachusetts, she ended up getting her master's certificate in mindfulness from Lesley College. And what a journey that, just watching her be part of that. And then she was a yoga instructor, Reiki, two-level trained, which part of, you know, my epiphical moments was when she would come visit from Massachusetts to perform, the Reiki. And that's pretty cool. So I encourage someone to, you know, have that experience. But what was neat about her mindfulness experience with is relating this to me. And just around that time, I was early 2013, 14, when I started Humanis Consulting, retiring from the YMCA. I was intrigued because this became a part of, wow, as I'm working with nonprofits, working with leaders, executive coaching, this mindfulness thing is what an avenue for leadership. And then my wife, she's retired now from education, but her school district sent 12 of them to get level two certification in mindful schools. And which I don't believe they don't exist anymore. So all of this was intriguing to me. And so as I started to, you know, my daughter's really been my inspiration for this and getting certifications. And then I was working with a company is through Humanix, and I was able to get more training through Search Inside Yourself, through a potential project. And what all came together, Clayton, to answer your question in a long way, is I've been journaling since high school. That's a mindful practice, right? And so that, like, wow, I've been doing this. And also my love for the outdoors. I grew up in Niagara Falls, four brothers, small home, parents, hardworking, you know, didn't have a college education. And so anytime I give it a chance to go visit my grandparents who lived in the country south of Buffalo, couple acres, my granddad, he had trails in the fields. My grandma had gardens and trees, and it was just such a joy to have peace and quiet, big barn. And so moving forward, I always wanted to have trails for my children, my grandchildren. And so, you know, I have that, but the love of nature. And we were blessed at a certain point, I think I was a junior in high school. My dad was able to find a couple of acres for a real good price, even further south of Buffalo, that it was just a pond, 2 acres in the middle of Sullivan County, Cattaraugus County, New York. And we would go there as much as possible. And then in high school, you know, our friends would go there. But it was that love of nature which carried through in my YMCA career, outdoors, camping, my love for the outdoors. And that became, as I learned more, being in outdoors forest bathing, what I was getting out of the forest reciprocates the forest gets out of me. And it just became this, wow. And so really my mindful time is in not only a practice, but, you know, my tagline is get outside for crying out loud. Enjoy the great outdoors because it gives back to you in ways that are just incredible. And so one thing led to another. Mindful trainer, instructor, and then when I was here at the food bank, no coincidences, one of our former board members was a colonial rep of our food bank, yoga instructor, and built a relationship because he started to see the mindfulness programs that we were doing here at the food bank. And one thing led to another. And here I am with you. And so it's an incredible journey. And I look, you know, just looking forward to what you and I, you know, will continue to do and support meditation for leadership and the ripple effect of that. So long-winded answer, but it's all interrelated. I mean, it's just incredible how the journey just interrelates and how as you get older and wiser, all these things become real. And when you are aware of that reality, it just compounds in a more positive direction. And that's where I'm blessed.
Yeah. So true. So true. And a shout out to Spencer Broad.
Yes.
Right. Spencer Broad is great. Great friend, colleague, yoga teacher, and, you know, former advisor to organizations around insurance related issues, and just a great guy.
I'm sorry, Clayton, I didn't mean to interrupt. But for the record, I will say this, that it's recorded. Spencer, I will take one of your yoga classes soon. I know you've been inviting me for several years. It will happen.
Right. And you can either take it locally or you can go down to Costa Rica, which is even better. So, I'm a believer, Fred, that, you know, I've heard the expression, there are no coincidences, and maybe that's true. People talk about how, you know, the universe manages to bring people together. And I think there's some truth to that. But here's what I really believe. I really believe that kindred spirits are brought together when they're paying attention, right? Because you can be introduced to someone because you've got a mutual connect, and that's great, Fred. Well, and then move on to the next thing. But if you are present in that moment and really getting a sense of who's this person I'm being introduced to, what are they about? And say, oh, let me just catch the vibe, the aura, hear what they say, and let the curiosity kind of build to say, I want to know more. And that's what happened to me vis-a-vis meeting you. So I think in many respects, that is an example of mindfulness in real time. Yeah, there are no coincidences, but if you're not paying attention, it ain't going to happen. And it'd just be another missed opportunity. So I'm grateful for whatever I've learned on my personal journey. But I also love the recap you gave me of yours. And I want to dig in a little deeper of perhaps a couple things. Let's start with the outdoors and what that does for you to create a greater sense of mindfulness, because we can say, you know, the experience is awesome. You know, I'm there, I'm present. But how does that inform the person you are and some specifics about why it has been such a passion for you to continue and expand now at this part?
You know, realizing, again, the journey, and then doing a lot of reading around forest bathing, and really gave me perspective of, again, that reciprocation, if that's the word, of me being in a forest, because the trees get the same energy from you as you would retrieve from trees or other, you know, floral and all that. But what has helped me, and it's a quote too that I have brought together, I believe it's a Ralph Waldo Emerson says, if you want to see something different, take the same path you took yesterday. And you talk about a quote that really puts you in that moment, because the present moment is all we have, right? And even my backyard trails, or the trails that I can probably walk blindfolded across at the state park, because I'm out there all the time, is I make it a point, intentional, to be present so I can see something different. And it is amazing, because every time I'm out there, I notice something different. And I will take double takes, Clayton. I'll be like, wait a minute, was that there yesterday? Maybe it wasn't. Or the different animal tracks. I see, and I'm in wonderment, because when you're in wonderment in that moment, that's where the awareness really comes, and that's where the joy or the magic. I love your, you know, the whole thing about the magic. That's where the magic is. And it's incredible because, you know, seeing something different on the same path you took yesterday is so true if you place yourself in that present moment. If you walk a path or walk in a park just to get the walk in, you don't say hi to anyone, your head is down, you're tunnel visioned. Yep, you may get your heart rate up. You know, you will reduce stress because you are exercising, but when you're intentional and be more aware of the stress you want to reduce because you're not thinking about, you want to be in a present moment, it's a whole different magic. So the forest and the woods have really brought a practical sense to me of how to be mindfulness elsewhere. So it's really, that's why, again, I just, you know, for people to get in the great outdoors, or even put a picture of nature on your wall. There's just a reciprocation of calmness. And so that's been an interesting journey, and it's always a journey. And I always look forward because it's always different.
Your example of walking the same path and looking for different things, again, bringing that beginner's mind, the curiosity, yeah, right, is really powerful.
Yeah, and beginner's mind, yep.
So a couple things come to my mind, and you also mentioned, you know, just having a picture of nature stuff. And I think one form of teaching that I've started to integrate for myself is sense foraging or sensory foraging. And, you know, being able to really embed each different sense, but specifically that. So sight, sound, smell, touch, and just be with that. And I think that really promotes a sense of wonderment, as you say, a sense of, whoa. I ask people, say, you know, what music do you listen to? I listen to jazz. Great. So go find your favorite piece of jazz and listen to a different instrument this time. Right. Yes. And just see. So I think that's a great tip. Now, I want to take that image of Fred on the path, right, and being curious, and bring him into the workplace. So how has that manifested itself for you as an employee, as a manager, as a leader? And anything come to mind of like, huh, here's an example where that might have been useful to me in this situation?
Yeah. How much time do we have for this podcast?
We have weeks. Don't worry.
Weeks. This is beautiful. Clayton, you know, it may sound like a cliche, but it's true. Culture, the personality of a team and organization, you know, it does start with the leader. And I'm not patting myself on the back here, but in my consulting years before the food bank, you know, I was leading workshops and presentations and seminars around mindfulness and how, and all the effects of that. And as you mentioned, too, these are just the sensories, you know, and that's even deeper into forest bathing when you bring all the sensories. But it also brings it into jazz music. It brings it into, if you're hand washing the dishes, you know, it just driving. What I wasn't sure of, and there would be follow up after I would lead a, you know, 2-hour workshop on mindfulness and leadership. Did it work? Was it working? It was working for me, and it was easy to lead and speak about it. So when I came here to the food bank that was in a really dire organization, almost on the verge of, closing the doors, this was, the morale and the environment just needed someone to be present and hear them and listen to them and encourage. And I remember my first meeting was November 5th, 2018. It was an all staff meeting. And at the time we had 45 staff members. And I looked, and my wife was great because I said no 3 times to applying for this job at the food bank, because my consulting firm, which consisted of 3 people, me, myself, and I, and just, you know, they were great partners most of the time. She goes, look, the organization just may need your consulting, so just go into it. And that's what I did. My first 2-hour time with the incredible group of colleagues was almost as a workshop, and bringing to them, hello, good morning, I'm happy to be here, but let's just take a moment. And I started that meeting with, let's take a moment to arrive. And I get yourself comfortable. If you're comfortable and you need trust, close your eyes. If not, soft gaze. Then if you opt to be out, you know, you don't, you can just stand outside because, you know, all the different just approaches of mindfulness and different philosophies of people, but everyone stayed. And that was our first three breaths. And what has evolved through that is when your direct team goes to a mindful retreat, when your CFO leads finance committee meetings with three breaths to alive. Mm-hmm. Last night, 7 years later, we had our philanthropy committee meeting, and we usually start meetings with, a mission moment. What have you experienced maybe in your volunteer working at a pantry as a volunteer, you know, just whatever. And there was silence in the chair of the philanthropy committee. All right, well, why don't we just take a book, you know, take a play from Kathleen's book, who's the CFO. Let's take our 3 minutes to arrive, three breaths to arrive. She walked through her floor verbally on Zoom, getting the whole committee, three breaths to her life. So this is where it has evolved. Our nutrition department put a mindful eating workshop together. And anytime we have group meetings, large, there's always staff that we rotate in to have a mindful moment, and you could present it what's most comfortable for you. So there's been trainings. It's just part of our DNA. And the part that's been most significant is we were already 2 years into a mindful atmosphere, if you will, culture when COVID hit. And that meeting 3 months in a row, every morning for an hour and a half, navigating. What are we going to do today? What's coming our way? In every meeting, every morning for 3 months, again, the directors, you know, each of us had our, not only our normal roles, but all initiatives of how we're going to tackle this day to keep feeding people and stay safe and healthy. We all began, you know, we rotated, starting the meeting with a mindful moment. And Clayton, I'm convinced that not only we survived as a food bank, but we thrived. And we were able to respond to the pivoting we needed to do versus reacting. And I believe in my heart is because where we were 2 years into me being here and the whole team acknowledging and adapting, if you will, a mindfulness spirit really helped us navigate that in response versus react. And it's pretty, and there's yeah. more stories, board members that came on and said, you know, Fred, at first I thought, who's this guy, the CEO, talking about mindfulness and doing these breaths? Well, this is a national known, he works for a national known bank, and his corporate offices are in Texas. And, about 6 to 8 months afterward, he said, Fred, I appreciate what you have done because I've taken mindfulness into my approach in my office. So like, oh, man. Drop the mic. Good. Amen. So it's really, and there's many more, but boy, it really helped our organization. But it wasn't just me. I don't know if you ever saw the video, The Lone Nut, the leader and the lone nut.
I haven't.
I think it's a Simon Sinek example, but there's this, they're on a beach. And this one individual gets up and just starts dancing. And people are watching him and like, what? All right, who's he? But it wasn't him. It was the second person that got up and started dancing next to him, the lone nut. And once that lone nut got up, everyone said, okay, wait, maybe this is a movement. And then next thing you know, there was less people sitting and more people dancing. And so my point to this is our chief people officer, our CFO, the chief operating officer, our chief development officer all became lone nuts because not only it helped them and their teams, but really that was the motivation for the organization to keep moving this forward. So
that's, first of all, I love that. That's a great, you know, that whole image. Yeah. I love that. And I want to underscore something that I heard loud and clear that differentiates what you brought to the table versus some leadership models, which are, this is how we're going to do it, right? Because what I heard in your story was you brought a philosophy and, let's say, a way of living, a way of managing, way of leading to the table, right? But I didn't hear that you wrote, leadership orders, or you dictated, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to have mindfulness throughout this. I want each of you to find ways to bring mindfulness into your meetings. I didn't hear that. What I heard was people saw Fred, people saw your style, what you were modeling, and they said, wow, I like that.
Yeah.
This resonates with me. And if it resonates with me coming off of Fred, I think the people that I work with will feel that same kind of ripple effect. And to me, that's brilliant, because forcing things down from the top rarely ends up being a successful journey in the long run. It may have some immediate effect, but people have to buy in. And that's what I'm seeing. People were buying in on their own volition, seeing it play out in real time, and want to think, I need more of that. Your board member going back to the bank in Texas, right? Is like, I'm stealing this from Fred. I'm bringing this down home. And that's watching things happen in real time and wanting to duplicate that success based on what you've seen, rather than being told this is what, rather than the should, right?
We don't
need life to should on us, right? We need to have the desire. I want that. So cool.
Can I expand upon that?
Please, I wish you would.
Yeah. So after that moment, and it was a hurting group here. And I just went into a workshop mode of how I, using neurological transmitters, the brain and all of those plasticity of the brain. And so the next thing I did is I told them, thank you for, welcoming me. And I just want to let you know, you are the food bank, because they were just trampled on. You know, everything you just mentioned was the opposite of what was happening here, Clayton. And so it was a team of passionate people that just needed someone to be present and recognize who they were and their passion for this work that we do in the food insecurity mission. I said, you are the food bank of South Jersey. It's not this building. Clayton, everyone, the 45 people started clapping. I didn't know what to do with that. And that was like, wow. So I took a breath. But then I did what I usually did in workshop is I asked two questions for them. What are you most proud of? And what is one thing that great thing that happened to you? What are you most proud of the food bank? And what is one wonderful thing that happened to you since January 2018? And then I just randomly, I said, go pick a partner and take a pencil and paper. They wrote down their answers and I sent them to find a partner. And then I gave them 2 minutes apiece to share their answer. What are they most proud of their role? And what was the best thing that happened to them since January 2018? And the decibels started going up. Now you can't get them quiet, but now they're engaging. And this is the part expand upon your insight here, is I had them turn around back to back. No talking. And I asked them to write down on the other side of their index card, what is one thing you remembered about the individual story? They're jotting notes. I said, no, don't turn around. You can't talk. And then when I finished, I said, all right, what was your partner? What were they wearing? And 100% of the time I've done this, Clayton is like, oh, wow. Like what kind of question is this? And they took time to write. Then I had them turn around. They got their voices. I said, see how you did. What did you remember from that story? And what did you remember about the wearing? And now the decibels go way up. Well, and I asked them, what is the purpose of exercise? And they said, paying attention, listening, active listening, memorization. I said, yeah, all those things are fine. I said, but the work we're doing and the work your colleagues that work right beside you, if you're not present in their presence, you're not going to hear fully of what they're telling you. And the phrase I used at that point was, being present in the presence of another is a present. It's a gift of kindness. And that then built into, we got into groups and said, what are you most proud of as a group? What is one thing we need to work on? And it became their, as I said, it's their food bank. And that really set the direction. We created neighborhoods, action steps all around their action steps. And to your point and your insight, Clayton, it wasn't me telling them what to do. They were telling me what they needed and what they can do. And then where do I support with the resources? And then the Lone Nuts, you know, as I hired a great team of the people around me, my direct reports, it just took it from there. And it was a beautiful thing, a magical thing to watch. But people are hungry to be heard. And when you're there in the presence of them and truly being there, then it wasn't just me leading an exercise going back to this office. And no, it just became, till this day, it's just, I'm going to miss them. I'm going to miss that in this community that this team has built. It's pretty cool.
I imagine you are going to miss that. And I imagine that it's going to be missed. It's not that other great leaders aren't out there, but there's, unfortunately, as you and I both know, the number of people who bring that servant leadership to bear. And that's, to me, one of the things, looking back at your career, really jumps out, is that you've talked about the mindfulness elements of it and some beautiful examples that you've just shared, but also the sense of, look at the organizations that you've worked with. They're all serving the greater good. Yeah. And that's not accidental, clearly. So I applaud that, and the world needs more of that. And I know that, honestly, I know there are a lot of people out there doing their best with organizations that are serving marginalized populations and people in need. But to be able to do that with a sense of, I'm doing this as a servant leader and I'm able to help create a successful culture within this organization that can do what we need to do. Because you can have the mission and fail at the mission because the culture doesn't align. And I think bringing that mindful element to it, and as you said in those words, you are the food bank, right? It's not Fred. Nope. Fred is part of it. You know, I'm part of it. Yeah. But you, each member of this organization, right? And you have immense value. And I love that sense of being present in the presence of someone is a present. It's a gift to them. Yeah. And it clearly, to me, it clearly creates a culture internally where people hear what other people need, what needs to be said, what needs to be heard. And then also externally, the populations being served is like, what do you truly need? Because we've all seen examples of organizations say, here, let me give you what I think you need. It's like, right?
No, yeah. It, you know, and that And during COVID, I was, to your point, Clayton, to be mindfully present when you have people in line during COVID, the first time ever needing food to help them and their family get through. Shame, humility. But when you're present and you can have that eye contact, even with masks, so much speaks from the eyes. You saw not only despair, but also gratitude. And the stories that our staff and volunteers came back with because they were so present, boy, how did that affect them? But also, too much of that becomes compassion fatigue. And so the other side of that mindfulness during that time for us was self-care. You know, how do we take that in for yourself to make sure you're taking care of yourself in a mindful way and whatever that may be, the breathing, the walking, the hiking, you know, the alone time, journaling. These were all those different aspects and tools to help our staff to stay mindfully present and healthy during that time. And it was really, it's you know, I know books are being written about this, but, you know, it helped our staff individually to have be mindful of their care, their self-care, and to continue to do this work in a healthful way.
Yeah, I think that's a recurring theme that I'm seeing more and more, and I've loved speaking on personally, dealing with, you know, HR communities of big companies and knowing how drained HR business partners are. And, you know, I'm reminding them that they need to put their mask on first, you know, as the flight attendants remind us. It's like, you know, you've got a lot of responsibilities, a lot of people depending on you. And that's organizationally, they're sort of, I would say, functional caregivers in a way, but then giving to individuals, to family members, to friends, to, again, marginalized populations. We can't deliver what is needed if our tank is empty.
That's right.
Right? So paying attention to that and being aware of the ways to refill the tank in... Basically, that is a manner of self-care that is overlooked a lot. And I think it's sometimes the, you know, next cowboy up culture says, you know, just think of it, the expression man up. Okay, well, let's move away from that and say, hey, person up by taking care of yourself and treat yourself the way you would your best friend or, you know, a family member.
That's so true.
And give some care, right? So I applaud that. I really do. Right. What, as you look at this next chapter for you, when you hang up the cleats at the Food Bank of South Jersey, do you see more of Outdoors with Papa, other things that may translate into? What is your sort of philosophy as you make this transition?
Oh boy, one is just what we've been talking about. Take a break, take a rest, have a mindful transition time. To get myself ready for, I really am looking forward to engaging in building Humanis Consulting back up. But around my schedule, my time, and so forth, my wife just retired, 35 years in education in June. And so we're with the grandchildren. You know, we're planning things and, you know, she loves the outdoors as well. So, you know, we're going to get back into, you know, throughout, we're already planning a year, segments of the year, traveling. We love the mountains. We lived up in the Catskills as our two older children were growing up there. So we love the mountain spirit. We love the Jersey Shore, the ocean, and, you know, all of those have its bathing, if you will, in the sand and in the forest and the ocean. And spending time on hobbies. It's just so many hobbies. I'm dabbling, but I want to do more than dabble because right now, you know, time commitments, building outdoors with Papa, and humanics. The humanics philosophy is, you know, how do you enhance a person's whole spirit, mind, body, and heart? And so the inner me will continue to do that for nonprofit organizations or individuals. When I want to schedule it, when I want to do it. And, we're closer to the end now than we were, you know, when all this started. And so, as much as I've, each day, carpe diem, you know, make the best of it, I'm looking to have more time to make the best of it and with my wife and, a lot more adventures to come and looking forward to that.
Yeah, I see that. I see the open-mindedness about what may come your way, but also I think there's true value in sort of saying, okay, here's some things that I know already, right? I want to work on humanics, and I know I want to spend more time outdoors with my wife, right? But then just being open, as you said, different hobbies, what turns me on now? What didn't I recognize before? And to me, this is a great example of mindfulness in real time. You have been, to me, an exemplar of that. And I'm so grateful to be able to kind of go through that, the great stories, the examples of how this plays out, servant leadership, and the fun, you know, having that spirit. That's one of the first things that I recognized in you. I want to spend more time with this guy because he's fun to be around. And, you know, so amen to that. Blessings on this next chapter. And thank you so much for our time together today. And I do personally look forward to more time with you going forward.
Well, and I can't be remiss. Steve Cohen, the founder and leader of Meditation for Leadership, yes to you and I and the rest of that wonderful group that's involved with Meditation for Leadership. How do we ripple effect his wonderful vision and philosophy that we're all engaged with? So I'm looking forward to working with that group as well. And thank you. I wish you the best. I look forward to, you know, our paths crossing very soon because I know the paths will be intentional for us crossing. So I'm looking forward to that.
Amen. As always, I want to thank our guests today for sharing their stories, as well as my producer, Mary Ann Sanders, for all her work behind the scenes, and finally for the support of my friends at Meditation for Leadership through their sponsorship. Until next time, this is Clayton Platt reminding you to look for those moments of magic in your life that lead to mindfulness in real time.